what you do and what you don't. What you will and what you won't. What you can and what you can't. This is what you got to know. Love you though it didn't show. Ich lieb dich nicht, du liebst mich nicht. 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 Da, da, da.
Listening to the Cosmopolitan Hour.
Hey, I'm somebody from the room, see the room 100 times, and you're listening Cosmopolitan Hour, whatever you're listening to, listen well, okay? I'm Tommy Wiseau. Have a groovy time. Bye.
All right. Is it just me, or did it get really noisy since we sat down?
Like, just right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell? God damn it, we get all settled in. We're in the lady psychiatrist booth at Vesuvio Pub. What is this? Pub? Bar?
Bar? I think
grotto.
It's a bar.
Can it be a grotto? I like the word grotto.
I think it has to have water to be a grotto.
Oh.
I don't... It's more like a... I don't know.
I can stuff some toilet paper down the toilet. We'll have some water. It'll be a nice little grotto in here.
Maybe next time.
Maybe next time, yeah. So, I think everyone that listens to us knows by now that we had the most exciting experience of our small,
lives.
Little, insignificant lives the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I should note that we are broadcasting from... Well, not broadcasting, but recording in the fabulous CD North Beach district of San Francisco. And there are several strip clubs with flashing lights.
Yeah, just across the street.
Yeah. And you also work here, not as a stripper, but as a lawyer.
Though people seem to think
assistant.
I'm a stripper, because I don't dress very legally, and I'm constantly walking around the area. So sometimes people, I think I'm going to or from work at somewhere other than a law firm.
Interesting.
Which I guess I don't mind, but I don't have nearly big enough boobs to be a stripper.
Whatever. There's no minimum size requirement for stripper tits.
Well, there's a minimum size requirement if you want to make any money.
There's people out there into smaller tits, into the little boobs.
That's true, but I think if I was a person who was into women and was into women with smaller boobs, a strip club would be the last place I'd go to indulge. You know?
Yeah. But anyway, we digress. Just under a week ago, we met the one and only Tommy Wiseau. We also met Greg Sestero, who is Tommy Wiseau's best bro.
Yes.
He puts that bro before all his other hoes.
Yeah.
All the
Clearly.
Time. And, Greg plays Mark in the room.
The best friend.
Yes, the best friend. Who stabs Johnny in the back.
Yeah.
Although, you know, well, fuck it. You know, I was going to say no spoilers, but Jesus Christ, if you listen to our podcast...
And you haven't seen The Room yet, forget it.
Just kill yourself now.
God damn.
You haven't lived. So yeah, on Saturday... And here's what an awesome friend Jordan is.
Oh, well.
Cheers, by the way. Jordan is such an awesome friend that a few months ago, when my partner and I were overseas attending various family shindigs, I got a random email from Jordan that said, Tommy Wiseau's coming to San Francisco. I thought you'd like to go, so I got you guys tickets. And I was just like... Holy fucking shit! And, so that momentous occasion arrived 5 days ago, and it was every bit worth the pennies.
It was magical. Really was.
It was magical.
Yeah.
And, I'm thrilled that, they spent so much time with the fans, and they were clearly very accessible. Yeah. I think Greg was a little embarrassed.
I think a little bit, yeah.
But, you know, like, he was really nice to us. He was very kind. And not in a creepy, like, I'm trying to get in your pants kind of way. Like, he was a genuinely nice guy.
I think
and really friendly.
I think that maybe he's... It's probably, like, being an actor on Star Trek or somebody who, like, goes to a lot of comic conventions and
yeah.
stuff. Because the room has kind of a nerdy following.
Yeah.
Like, the people who were there with us were... There were a lot of nerds
yeah.
in that. So I think maybe he was... You know, happy to talk to somebody who
yeah.
Who is okay talking about something other than the room.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Like Winnipeg Babysitter.
Yeah,
or not
TV
Winnipeg
Carnage.
Babysitter, but TV Carnage. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The greatest highlight of my night was I stumped Greg Sestero. I flabbergasted him.
You did.
Even.
He blew his mind.
I did. I saw his mind blow chunks all over the movie screen at the Red Vic. Yeah, they had a Q&A session before the movie, during which point I'm sure Tommy Wiseau and Greg Sestero fucked off to the bar and got drunk for like an hour and a half before they had to see the next group of fans. But in the Q&A, and I actually took video of the whole Q&A. I'm going to post it on the Cosmopolitan Hour's YouTube channel at some
Good.
Point. I just have to edit it and, you know, make sure it sounds somewhat comprehensible. But I asked Greg Sestero... that I told him that I'd heard that he would be collaborating with TV Carnage, which is an awesome group of DVDs put out by this fucking hilarious guy from Canada who, it all started when he was a teenager and he'd had his wisdom teeth removed and he was like out of his mind on painkillers and he basically made a mixtape of the most amazing shit he could pull from TV. And his DVDs have become this amazing phenomenon and people submit clips and, you know, so it's like a mixtape, but with TV, it's like best of both worlds.
Yes, worst of.
And he does some really amazing, creative, funny stuff. He lives in New York City now, and I saw him talking about doing a project with Greg Sestero a few months ago on his blog, and he posted this hilarious video of Greg Sestero returning a DVD of The Room to a Manhattan video store and complaining that it was a horrible movie and he wanted his money back. And the clerk, you know, like... total Manhattanite. He's just like playing it really cool. He's like, oh yeah? Yeah? You didn't like it? Huh. You know, but I mean, you could tell that they were both in on the joke, but they both had this pretense of not being in on the joke. It was fantastic. Anyway, I asked Greg about the TV Carnage project, and he was just like, I just talked about that last week. I didn't know anybody knew about that. How did you know about that? Like, he was actually kind of freaked out. I think he maybe suspected me of going through his trash or something like that.
Stalking him.
Yeah, but that was fun. And then as I'm sure you have heard on our last episode, in this current episode, Greg and Tommy were so incredibly patient generous as to record not one, but two introductions for the Cosmopolitan Hour. They are our first, like, huge...
celebrities.
B-list celebrities. We've gone to the Z-list before. We've got Issa and Laura. They're local celebrities. They're vegan celebrities. But we got people who are known beyond the vegan circle now.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Non-vegans.
Yes.
Shame.
Yeah, we just threw Issa and Laura under the bus for Tommy and Greg.
We did.
Whatever, guys. We know you'd do it, too, for us.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's pretty exciting.
It is pretty exciting.
So what... now we can talk some real shit. What were your impressions upon meeting Tommy and Greg?
Well... Greg seemed like a very nice fellow.
Yes.
I was not entirely impressed with his choice of favorite neighborhoods for San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, that was hilarious.
He said, if anybody who's listening who's familiar with San Francisco will know the Marina District and its reputation for being a haven for douchebags of various stripes.
Yes.
And that was Greg's favorite place to hang out, I guess.
But it's also where The Room takes place.
That's true.
But Greg Sestero is from San Francisco, so he has no excuse to plead ignorance.
That's true. He doesn't.
He clearly should have said, my favorite place is the Upper Hay at the Red Vic Theater. Sorry. But he let that opportunity pass him by.
He did. But then again,
shame, you know your name, Greg.
I would judge him just as harshly for saying that the Upper Haight was his favorite part of San Francisco. Because the Upper Haight is pretty god awful, let me tell you that.
Yeah. It's like a Hot Topic and a trust fund exploded all over that place.
Yeah, with like 80 crusty fucking burnout kids begging for your money, like for every block. And it's not that I hate homeless people or whatever, but I get pretty annoyed when I see young, able-bodied people who,
yes,
who have just decided to not do anything. And especially when they have dogs, because I'm just like,
yeah,
you can't take care of that fucking dog.
Yeah.
So, but Tommy Wiseau,
there are better ways to rebel against society than to simply sit on the sidewalk, right, asking other people for money.
Well, I mean, it's not like if any of these people had a distinguishable like reason for doing what they were doing, like,
yeah,
if they were like, if they were saying like, I'm a, you know, revolutionary of this stripe and this is what I believe and this is why I'm doing this, instead of being like, you want to give me change to buy acid, then like I'd just be a lot more receptive.
I think you need to elaborate on the acid story at this point.
So while Erica and I were getting our recorded introduction from Tommy Wiseau and Greg Sestero, apparently, we left our group of friends standing out in the cold on the sidewalk, and
that's how we roll.
It is how we roll. And my husband was approached by some kid who asked him for money to buy acid. So Mike responds, "Christ is free." And to which the kid responds, "Tell me about Christ." And Mike tells him that Christ is dead, and therefore a lot less annoying than you, meaning the kid.
Burn.
And then he told the kid that back in his day, he had to get a job to buy acid.
Yeah, we paid for our own acid back when I was a youngin'.
Right. So, and then the kid walked away with his head hanging in shame.
And his tail between his legs.
His tail between his legs.
His tail being the hipster raccoon tail that
Fox tail.
Oh, is it a fox tail?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, what the fuck is wrong with people?
Yeah.
So anyway, getting back to Tommy and Greg.
Tommy Wiseau is
inside gossip.
Tommy Wiseau is short and kind of crazy.
I didn't think he was that short.
I guess, but like, I don't know. He wasn't
Jesus
much taller
Christ.
Than me.
I just got blinded by the flash of some tourist taking a picture of some undoubtedly the spot of the sidewalk where Jack Kerouac once threw up.
Jack,
just a tip for our listeners, use your flash as little as possible. It makes your pictures look like shit. Use natural lighting whenever possible.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So you were saying you think Tommy looks short.
Yes, and you've totally disrupted my train of thought.
I'm sorry. I got blinded. I couldn't help it.
He's short. Oh, and he's obviously a perfectionist. You can see it in his movies, but now we've seen it in real life. Because he did the first take for the promo, and then he grabbed us both by the arms
it
and pushed us into the darkened theater.
I had no idea what was going on.
I didn't know what was going on either.
We should clarify, we were the last people in line for the second round of meet and greets after the movie, which, again, speaks to how awesome they were, because they met with people before the movie and then came back and did it again after the movie.
It was pretty cool.
So you're heroes. But, we were the last people in line. We were all alone, and he grabbed us both really hard
and
pushed us into the theater. And I was like, oh, God, is he going to try and sleep with us? Is he propositioning me?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is this
going
to be an awkward
blowjob to our knees or what?
Yeah.
Yeah. But luckily, he just wanted to explain to us that he needed to do a better one.
Yeah, I think he was embarrassed to say that in front of Greg. I don't know why, but...
Yeah, in front of all the other people there.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe he was seeing if, like, we would, like, proposition him once he got us in there.
Once we got into a darkened room with him, we'd, like, rip our clothes off.
Maybe that's what he was thinking. Maybe that's what he gets. Maybe that happens a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
I don't know.
I'm sure it happens all the goddamn time. I was struck by his amazing fashion sense.
Oh.
I is too cool for school.
That guy is too cool to have just one belt, I'll tell you that much.
That's true. He was wearing black pants, a lime green shirt.
Yeah. It was a pink shirt.
It was a hot pink shirt and a lime green silk tie.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yes. With a vest.
Yeah, with a vest.
And sunglasses.
Yeah, he never took his sunglasses off.
Yeah.
He's got the poker face thing going on. He probably keeps sunglasses on so that you never see him, his unblinking glare.
His intense gaze.
Yeah. So it just might burn your underwear off.
Yeah, it might be. That would be hard. He's like the Cyclops.
Yeah. And as Jordan mentioned, he had about 3 bondage belts on.
Only one was a bondage belt,
oh,
but
okay.
He had 3 belts.
Wow, I'm glad you were paying attention.
I was. It's important to pay attention to these.
There were a lot of belts involved, and most of them were kind of hanging low and wrapping around his ass, so he kind of had like this belt girdle support system going on.
Yes.
It was really interesting. Jordan's taking a picture of the booth for Lady Psychiatrist sign. We are the Lady Psychiatrists in Residence. We should put up a sign asking people, like in Peanuts, psychiatric advice, 5 cents.
We should.
I would charge a lot more than 5 cents, though, because my shit is golden and your shit is platinum.
Oh.
And there's a little bit of diamonds sprinkled in between the two.
That's true. Maybe just a little bit.
Yeah. So, yeah, Greg was just kind of dressed like a bro. Tommy wins in the fashion category.
Yeah, Greg looked like he blow-dried his hair.
Oh. So
he
maybe,
like... Or like he'd done something to his hair. Like he styled his hair.
He had some product going on.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a normal thing outside of our circle of dirt bags. But, yeah. Hard to say.
Well, Greg definitely wins in the crazy category, as in he's not as crazy as Tommy Wiseau. I mean, it's pretty obvious from his movies, but yeah, that dude is—he's frantic. That's
yeah,
a good way to describe him.
Frantic.
I feel kind of bad because I think, you know, I used to think he was just this kind of like ridiculous nutty guy, and I mean, he is nutty. Don't get me wrong, but I think during the Q&A, it became very clear that. His grasp of English is really a lot worse than it comes across in the movies.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
I feel bad, because I know how it is to live in a country where you don't speak the language, and I know how it is to try and speak a language and not be able to express yourself and feel embarrassed thinking that, oh my god, everyone knows that I have no fucking idea what I'm talking about.
Right.
So, you know, I'm definitely not ridiculing him for that, but the Q&A session was... not really productive, to say the least, because there was nothing really answered.
We didn't get a lot of the answers that we thought we were going to get when the people asked the questions.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of Tommy saying, next question.
Yes. And kind of flourish without anything.
Yeah, he was very flirtatious.
He was.
He kind of waved away the unwillingness to answer questions with his flirtatiousness.
Though he did.
Again, our underwear burned off.
Right. Well, one person asked him about the 3 belts. And he called that guy up to the stage and whispered in his ear what it was.
That was very flirtatious.
I know.
I'm surprised the guy didn't burst into flames right there. Yeah, that was pretty exciting.
It was pretty exciting.
I really
wish I knew what he said.
Me too. We should have found that guy
and interviewed him.
Yeah, asked him what Tommy told him.
Yeah.
God damn. Now that's gonna
missed opportunity.
That's gonna haunt me to the grave. What did Tommy whisper in his ear? God. Anyway. but yeah, I felt a little bad for Greg. I feel like he's definitely taken the ride because it's probably going to get him more acting gigs than that country music video he did ever will.
Right.
But at the same time, I can tell there's kind of a seething resentment under the surface that Tommy kind of bosses him around and like talks over him and tells him to shut up and tells him what to do. And I can tell Greg's just riding it out till he can catch the connection to the gravy train.
I got the that feeling as well. But I mean, You know, it's good if he's being asked to do things in a comedic light, because maybe he'll have a whole new career.
Yeah.
I mean, he was probably kind of going for a dramatic career, and, like, he's a good-looking guy, so, you know, like, he's kind of got that, and maybe he was just thinking that that would work for him, but...
I gotta say, I like him better with the Kenny Loggins beard.
Yeah, I do, too.
I'm not really one for facial hair, but on him... It works.
I like facial hair. I don't like gratuitous beards. Yes. And I don't like wacky facial hair, but...
Although I gotta say, if anyone were to have a gratuitous beard, I think Greg Sestero would rock the shit out of the Grizzly Adams look.
That's true.
And I kind of want to see him try.
You know, I mean, I hate to say this, and I hope he doesn't find this and, like, listen to it and, like, I don't know. But he'd be, like, he could be in, like, you know, kind of... otter porn, you know.
he's
totally got that look, like, you know, the nice cut. He's got good facial hair, like, you can see him wearing, like, a plaid shirt and, like, tucked into his jeans with, like, a toque or something like that, and then, like, you know, some big old Folsom Street bear comes and has his way with him.
Has his way.
Speaking of the
sweeps
Folsom...
him off his feet.
The Folsom Street Bear is this weekend.
Oh my god, that's so exciting.
I know.
Oh yeah, and I had the temerity to ask you over to my house on Sunday. How could I? You're going to be like 2 feet from, like, assless chaps wearing bears spanking each other. And god, how could I ask you to leave that?
Jesus. I know, it was really selfish of you.
Okay, you know what? Hondell doesn't get a birthday cake. I'm going to go watch people get fisted in the street.
I've never seen anybody get fisted.
Yes. Remember we saw that horrifying video at my at the all-girl party where we basically sat around and watched horrifying YouTube videos because all our dudes were gone. And there was a guy...
That wasn't fisting, though. That was different. It was
close. But he had his fist in there.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh,
remember when we were like, what's going on? What's happening?
Oh, and then he was, like, rummaging around.
Then,
That's right. That's right.
And I think Melissa hypothesized that he was jerking himself off while his junk and the hand were both inside of the girlfriend.
God.
Because she was that torn up and worn out.
Or just has a big vagina. I mean, like...
Ladies, do your Kegels.
But, I mean, maybe that's just how she is.
Yeah, but... I guess if
she's got to have some kind of genetic or, like, she's got to have some kind of predisposition to that. Because I don't think it would matter.
Vagina.
Well, it wouldn't matter how many water bottles I shoved up there. Like, for me, it just, that would never, I couldn't do it if I tried, you know? Like, I could never be that.
Well, you're naturally a very small person.
Yeah. But she wasn't that big.
How could you tell? You could see it was her ass.
Well, you could kind of tell by her ass and, like, the relation of the size of her ass to the water bottle going in.
Oh, God.
She wasn't huge.
I apologize to all of our listeners. Wasn't there a Canadian weather report in the background,
too? I think
too?
She was from Alberta.
Canada.
Yeah.
There you go. You should be proud.
Because they were listening to the news, like, while all this was going on. Or watching the news, even worse.
Nothing gets me in the mood more than the weather report and the news.
Yeah.
So, speaking of which...
in the mood...
Speaking of the news and all the horrible shit that accompanies it, I have something exciting and somewhat horrifying to share with our listeners that when we got back from seeing Tommy Wiseau, we got to our house and we walked up the steps to our porch and the screen was off one of our windows. And I was like, fuck, that's weird. Did somebody try to get in here? And we came inside. And nothing was amiss, and thankfully we had my parents' dog staying with us for the weekend, and she is a 70-pound pit bull black lab mix, who thinks she's like a 5-pound puppy.
Right.
But up until the moment when a stranger comes to the door, and then she's like a 200-pound Rottweiler.
Right.
So yeah, we had her and the other 35-pound dog. So we had over 100 pounds of dog at home, who both... you know to alert intruders to their presence. So we had that in our favor.
And,
but for some reason, we had neglected to close unlock the metal grate on the back door. And the inside door and in the rear of the house, there's the outer grate, and then the inside door is like a wooden door with glass panels all over it. And someone had, and we didn't find this out until the next morning, but somebody had tried to kind of carve one of the windows out of the frame with, I don't even know what they were using. I mean, it couldn't have even been a pocket knife. It was that crude and amateur.
Oh, man.
But they tried to carve out one of the windows. There were like little dig marks, and they fucked up the wood on the door. And you could see other like scratch marks where they tried to first dig out the deadbolt and then the doorknob. But, you know, any fucking idiot, I mean, if you're going to break into a place, at least fucking do it right, you know?
Yeah.
Don't half-ass that shit, because, you know, in for a penny, in for a pound, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not that hard to wrap your... I've seen it in movies and TV all the time. I've never even tried to break into a place, and I would know to wrap a t-shirt around my hand, punch through one of the windows in that back door, and just reach in and unlock the door. Not that that's a suggestion, any of you listening out there. But
nobody who listens to the Cosmopolitan Hour would ever rob a house.
I know. Or at least my house. They'd go to some fucking mansion, like the CEO of BP or something like that.
Right. You can rob the CEO of BP,
totally.
Too. I give everybody permission.
That fucking douchewad deserves it. But we do not endorse that. So our neighbor came by and told us that... someone in his home, I guess he'd been out partying on a Saturday night, and someone, I think it was like maybe his sister, I forget who, but someone at his home called him and was like, holy shit, there's somebody trying to break in next door. And we have a shared driveway with the neighbor, so they were like in her driveway and she could hear him. And she was freaked out, so he got in the car and drove home real quick. And according to him, he whooped their asses.
Right.
And almost shot them. And while I really appreciate the gesture, and I appreciate him looking out for us as neighbors, even though, you know, I'm personally not on the best of terms with him, I kind of have to think that his statements are a bit of an exaggeration, because he has the physique of Pac-Man. He's literally like a round ball with little legs sticking out. So I kind of doubt he whooped anybody's asses. But at any rate, he scared them off. And
that's
good. Yeah, that was much appreciated. And then, so, it was really frustrating and kind of upsetting to come home from this awesome experience meeting Tommy Wiseau and, you know, having him being so kind and you know, recording the intro and, you know, just, yeah, coming off this amazing, incredible experience with my friends and having fun and laughing my ass off, and then come home and, like, realize that somebody had tried to break in and steal all my shit. And I'm not, like, a really, like, materialistic person, but... you know, the fact that money is really tight for me and I can't really, you know, if somebody stole all my shit, I couldn't really just go out and buy new stuff that weekend. Like, I'd be screwed for a good long while. And, you know, it was just, like, really violating and it just, you know, there's something, like, really profound about somebody breaking into your home, because your home is your sanctuary, and it's where you feel that you can be private, and you can be yourself, and when, you know, it's where you sleep, it's where you're really vulnerable, and there's just so much significance behind that, and to find out that somebody's, like, tried to break in there is really unsettling. And I mean, I can't even imagine what it's like to actually be robbed. I mean, I got a pretty good idea the other night, but...
Right.
I mean, for anybody that's listening that's actually had their house broken into and had their stuff stolen, you know, you really have my sympathy. I can't imagine how awful that must feel. But, yeah, that was really fucked up and interesting. And then yesterday there was a news story that police in Berkeley, which is literally two blocks from my house, the city, Berkeley city limits, they caught three robbers who had been witnessed going into a house by a neighbor who called 911, and the cops chased these robbers down the street about two blocks from my house, and they crashed, and they caught two of them. The third one got away. But they'd been seen by the neighbor taking the screen off the windows, which sounded kind of like our guys. So I hope that that was them. I hope they're not out there doing this to other people. But among the stolen items found in their car trunk were... a laptop and a projector and some computer cables and a jar of coins.
Whoa.
I mean, really, they fucked up their futures. I mean, one of the kids is 15 years old.
Yeah.
They're 21 and 15, the kids that got caught. and they fucked up their futures for a jar of coins.
Well, they probably didn't fuck it up that bad, really.
Yeah.
But
you know, they got caught by the cops. They're gonna, you know.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff gets purged from your record when you turn 18.
That's true.
I was actually robbed when I was in my second year of university.
Oh, man.
Someone broke in, and they took, like, mostly kind of luxury items, and, like, my CD collection was gone, and my camera was gone. And it was kind of a bummer, but, like, I was completely mystified and annoyed by my roommate's response, which was to, like, freak the fuck out. Because I can sympathize with people who do feel this way, but I didn't really feel violated. I didn't, you know, like, I was just kind of like, bad luck. You know, like, somebody was a dick and they took my stuff. But, like, you know, I didn't lose any sleep. I didn't, whatever. I just was like, you know, it was kind of like, you know, what's the worst that could happen? They could come back and steal more of my CDs. I'm like, yeah, that would suck, but, you know, whatever. I don't really have anything worth stealing, so.
Yeah.
But my roommate just lost her mind, and she, like, made her dad drive up from upstate New York, so, like, 12 hours, to install more locks on our doors. And and then when she came home a couple days later and found a, like, 75 or 80-year-old homeless man sleeping in the kind of like the enclosed area of our front gate into our apartment building. There's, like, you know, an outside door that anybody could open, and then inside there's kind of a little, like, a very small, you know, about the size of this booth here, you know, like 6 feet by 8 feet or something like that. There's just a little vestibule where there was, like, the buzzer to buzz, you know, whatever apartment. So this old guy would sleep there sometimes, and, like, it was obvious, you know, he would be there during the night, he would get up early and leave.
Yeah.
He was not looking to break in. All that he wanted was to not die in the streets. He was old and about 5'2". So, but this break-in made my roommate so paranoid and, like, frantic about all this stuff that the next time that guy showed up in our little lobby, she called the cops on him and had him hauled off to whatever, and that just made me so angry, because I was like, I know that, you know, she felt really vulnerable, and I know that that's hard, but at the same time, it's like, you know, living in a major city, that shit happens sometimes, and it's like, you don't have to deal with it by being an asshole. You have every right to feel any way that you want to feel.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't have to take it out on poor people, because obviously poor people are the problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
I don't know, it's just, it's weird because in America, too, there's such this, and this roommate was an American, there's this real emphasis on, like, protecting your castle.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm really not sure, like, Mike is really crazy about, like, always having, like, every door in the house locked and all this stuff. And I'm just like, I grew up not locking our doors, really, ever. You know, like, when we'd go on vacation, we'd lock our doors, and, like, you know, I guess if everybody was out of the house, then I guess the doors would get locked, but we also had, like, a key, like, nobody even really had their own key, we just had, like, a key that kind of was, like, outside, so that everybody would just use, so, I mean, really, the door was never that locked, and I just, it's a really weird adjustment coming to a place where everybody's like, oh, lock this, lock, you know, lock everything, blah, 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 everything's going to get stolen, and it's like, I mean, I don't know, I wonder what came first, the chicken or the egg, I guess, with that one. It's just kind of weird. And maybe some of our Canadian listeners kind of know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom is like the polar opposite. Like, I used to go nuts because she, I mean, you've been to my parents' house. It's in a pretty quiet suburban neighborhood in California. It's not really known for its crime. It's well known for, like, a kidnapping case in 1994. But that was, like, totally out of the ordinary. And people were like, how can this happen here?
Right.
And she grew up in the, you know, it's not like she grew up in the inner city. She grew up in the suburbs.
Right.
But I think she was just raised in such a culture of fear that, you know, she would lock, it would be the middle of the day, it would be a sunny, beautiful day, and they live on a cul-de-sac, so it's not like there's people walking through or people driving through all the time.
Right.
It's a really quiet street. And the garage door would be open, and she would lock the door to the house from the garage door. And then she would flip out if the deadbolt wasn't on the door. And I'm like, okay, you know, we check the door before we go to bed, sure, but, you know, you don't need to have the deadbolt. And it would drive me nuts because I would go outside and go play and then come home and I'd be, like, pounding on the door because my mom had locked it. And it's like, why?
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, I don't feel good about that as a way to engage with your neighborhood.
No.
You know? Like, and I know, like, Mike and I have fought about this before and whatever. I just do what I want when I'm home and he does what he wants when he's home. But, I don't know, I just... It just kind of smacks of, like, I don't,
distrust,
but also kind of a sort of elitism almost. Like,
yeah.
You know, this is my place,
yeah.
And I paid for it, and this is all my stuff that I paid for.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't have it. And it's not, it's not that I think that anybody else is necessarily entitled, but I don't know, it's just, it weirds me out, like, the way that people are so...
Yeah.
Weird like that, you know.
Yeah.
I just, it's not very friendly. It's not
true. Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think in a way, it's like it's aspiring to those enormous gated communities and crazy security systems and private security guards.
Right.
But on a much smaller scale, you know. Like, I can't afford the huge iron wrought gate in front of my house. I can't afford a moat in front of my castle. But I can afford, you know, like, a triple deadlock and a security system or something like that.
Right.
And we've actually had so many people come to the door trying to sell us security systems. And we have a system installed in the house that was put in by the owner, our landlord, but it's not turned on.
Right.
But we still have the sign in the yard. Just, you know, I mean, it's nice to, like, dissuade people if they're looking for an easy in or something.
Right.
But, you know, I just feel like it's paying people, you know, to buy a security system is like paying people money to prey on your fears. And what's really ironic is that I think 9 times out of the 10 that, you know, someone from the security company has knocked on our door, and also at my parents' house, I've seen this happen at my parents' house as well, when people trying to sell security systems come to the door, for some reason they always come and knock when we're watching my parents' dog. And she's this enormous dog with this booming bark. Mm-hmm. And the second they knock, she starts barking and going nuts. And we're, like, holding her back with her collar. And, you know, if we let her go, she could do some serious damage.
Right.
Not that she's, like, not a total cuddle monster every other minute of the day. But,
right.
You know, it's just really funny when these guys come to the door and they're trying to convince us why we need a security system. And we just, like, point at the dog and we're like, I think we're all right.
Yeah.
You know? It's... You know, it just seems like, I don't know, it just seems like a lot of money to throw away on something that, yeah, is troubling, you know, should it happen. Well, first of all, it's a lot of money to throw away on something that is very not likely to happen.
Right.
Even if you live in a somewhat shady neighborhood, it's not that likely to happen if you are smart and, you know, lock up when you go to bed, or lock up if you're going to be out, or, you know, don't leave valuables in the window, and that sort of stuff. But it's also a lot of money to throw away on something that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, is not that devastating.
Right.
I mean, if they were to get in, if they were to succeed in getting in on Saturday night, you know, I would be really bummed if they took a lot of stuff.
Probably.
You know, like, I'd be bummed that I couldn't watch DVDs anymore.
Right.
Or that my computer with all its files and all our podcasts got stolen. But, you know, the only thing that would really truly devastate me is if something happened to my dogs.
Right.
Or if, you know, like, if they felt they had to hurt my dogs to get in and take shit without being hindered by them. Or if they were to take something like, you know, like, I have a piece of jewelry that belonged to my great-grandmother. That's fairly worthless. It's made of nickel. But to me, it has, like, inestimable value.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, maybe the stereo system, which I just inherited from my grandfather, which, granted, is really nice, and it's maybe a material possession, but I could say that has sentimental value too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
At least belonged to my grandpa. But yeah, I mean, it's like, ultimately, that shit can be replaced.
Yeah.
You know, as long as they don't take something that can't be replaced, then whatever. I'm willing to risk that likelihood for the feeling that I'm not pissing money away on this culture of fear, first of all, and second of all, not like alienating my neighbors or my neighborhood or putting ugly iron bars on my window.
Right.
Hear, hear. Indeed. Anyway, that was my crazy rant.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird thing, I think. I guess I don't really know how to engage with it very well, but yeah. It's a tough question for these lady psychiatrists.
Indeed. So, but I didn't get any advice on how to spend my 10th anniversary, which is today. Today is, we are recording on September 23rd, and it's my 10th anniversary with my partner, who I love. And
congratulations.
Thank you. 10 years ago today, we met at the statue of Charles Dickens and Little Nell in Clark Park in West Philadelphia for our first date.
That's very
nice. And then, yeah, we went and got coffee. I think we got something to eat. I don't know what. And then we went back to my place on South 49th Street in Philly.
Did you bone down?
Not that night. But we did watch the story of Ricky, where they used to use a clip from that movie in The Daily Show.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm talking, like, years ago, where the guy, like, jumps out of the ground and kind of, like, sort of claps his hands together in a karate chop and, like, explodes the guy's head.
Oh.
And they would just rewind it and play it and rewind it and play it, like, in a loop on The Daily Show.
That's awesome.
And it's from the story of Ricky. It's, like, an incredibly gory and violent and hilarious Hong Kong movie. And we watched it and had orange tea, and then Pranjal totally kissed me, and it was awesome.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's cute.
I have to tell you about my awesome moment at work as well.
All right.
We got Greek food today. Every Thursday is free food for everybody in the office.
Right.
We got Greek food, and there was a big tray. They very thoughtfully put the falafel at one end this time around, so I could take non-tainted falafel, but there was, like, a huge pile of messy, nasty meat on the other end of the tray. And there was a point in the night, or in the day, where everybody was standing around the tray, and they're like, yeah, that's chicken, and that's lamb, but what's this? No, that's the chicken. What's this, though? No, that's the lamb. What's this? I don't know. And they're all like, oh, it tastes like chicken, but that's the chicken. And I'm like, so you have no fucking idea what this is, but you're putting it into your mouth? And you kind of don't really care. Like, how's that for omnivorism?
That just seems really gross.
Yeah.
Oh, look.
Oh, we have
another
two
we
new
have
ones. I think it's this one that's the second one's the longer one.
Okay. So, this message is from Alex.
Yeah.
Falafel waffle.
Yeah. Who had, she was the one that had her retinas detached a while ago, right?
Yeah, well, I think she had them reattached.
Oh, okay.
The problem was that they were detached.
Well, she could only be upright for certain periods of time.
Right.
And she very thoughtfully dedicated some of her upright time to sending us an email a few weeks ago.
Yes, and we were very flattered. And now that she's written to us again, we're even more flattered.
Yeah.
So, all right. Here's what she has to say. Hello, Jordan and Erica. For a while, I thought you were on a permanent hiatus from podcasting. For weeks, I hit the refresh button in vain, hoping to hear it, and I eventually gave up hope that it would ever return. Then episode 46 comes along. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Well, Alex, every once in a while that happens.
Yeah. We like to flake.
Yeah.
We're in California, we're entitled to flake.
Well, we don't even really like it. It's more just that, you know,
Shit gets in the way.
Sometimes I'm working and you're working and we live on opposite sides of a small piece of ocean. And,
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. But
2 miles of ocean is just too much to cross.
Oh, I know. Would you like to read the next paragraph?
Oh, sure. I feel quite honored with a U, you, you crazy Canadians, to be quoted in your podcast, even if you don't remember my name. It's Alex, but I respond to a variety of names, and Falafel Waffle works just dandily. Dandalilily. However, you will have to come to terms with the fact that I am not a talking rabbit with a waffle on its head, as my avatar would make you believe.
I refuse.
How
dare
you?
Else.
I only see a rabbit with a waffle on its head. How dare you destroy my illusions?
Which, of course, relates perfectly to Falafel Waffle.
I fully support your Canadian adventure plans. Oh my god, your phone is crazy.
Yes. There you
However,
go.
I think you ought to consider Ottawa as it is the capital and all.
I see where this is going.
You can protest on Parliament Hill, no promise that it will do anything, but you'll get your angries out. After which you can visit the feral cat colony behind the Parliament buildings. Oh! And apparently beaver tails are vegan if you request no butter. Plan ahead and keep a container of Earth Balance on your person at all times. That's good advice in general.
It is good advice.
Shall you take it from what the explanation of what beaver tails are? Because I don't actually know, and it would sound like I'm making it up.
I've eaten beaver tails before. They are delicious. And vegan. Alex continues. Beaver tails are neither a sexual euphemism, nor are they the tails of beavers. They're long globs of fried dough covered in cinnamon sugar.
So, could you call a beaver tail a Canadian churro?
No, they're more like elephant ears. Have you guys ever had elephant ears?
I've heard of elephant ears.
Or like, what are they called here? I'm sure that you guys have them.
But taste-wise and texturally, are they like eating a churro?
I've never had a churro.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, but they're flat. So they're not like a churro. They're not a stick. They're like a big, they look like beaver tails. That's why they're
right. Well, when we open the bakery, you're going to make me some beaver tails.
All right.
Because that shit sounds delicious.
They are very good. And it continues. Oh, and I live there, which is reason enough. I may be romanticizing a bit, as it's the first city I've lived in after Calgary. Need I say more? No, Alex, you need not. Calgary, for our listeners who are not lucky enough to be familiar with the city, is Alberta's largest city. It's slightly larger than Edmonton, and Edmontonians will forever be bitter about that fact. Calgary is the home to a great number of Canadian or sometimes international headquarters of oil companies.
Woo!
So Calgary's downtown is kind of intense. Calgary is also...
Is it like Dallas? Like, and I don't mean the city Dallas, I mean like the 80s TV show Dallas.
I don't really know the 80s TV show Dallas. But
just think of lots of big hair and shoulder pads and gold chains.
It's not really like the fashion, it's more just like there's a lot of oil money floating around in like a small kind of area. Calgary is also, I think, one of the worst planned cities in the entire world.
Ooh, I don't know.
No.
I live next to Emeryville. I
will fight you. It is 100,000 times worse than Emeryville. I am not kidding. All right. Pause for a second. I'm going to show you how bad Calgary is.
This shit is serious. We're going to have to pause this. When I lived in Hong Kong, I actually knew somebody from Calgary, and he would always pronounce it Calgary.
Oh.
Like there was an invisible I in there, like Calgary.
Yeah, I don't think that's
Calgary.
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
And he would always go, like, August and September, the most brutal months of the year in Hong Kong. And we would see him, and he'd be like, oh yeah, I'm headed home, I'm going to Calgary for August and September. And I was like, Calgary? Like, it always made me think of calamari.
Oh.
Or the cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
That's funny.
So
he's wrong. let me tell you that much.
Well, yeah, he was kind of a weird guy. Anyway.
So we have another.
Yay!
We have another email, which tickles my fancy.
I haven't read this one. I haven't pre-vetted this.
Okay, well.
This is live and uncensored. This is out of control.
Well, hopefully she won't start, you know, using racial epithets or swearing at us.
Yeah, because it's not like I can edit this out or anything.
Right. So this is from Mary, who says, "Hey, Erica and Jordan. It's Pickled Treats from the PPK. I can't believe I just now started listening to your podcast. I blame it on being a high school teacher last year. Shame on you.
How dare you teach the future generations of America? God damn you.
I have so many episodes to catch up on, so it's a good thing I'm sitting on my unemployed ass in the Netherlands waiting for residency papers. Sucks. Amen.
Netherlands. Yeah,
she
totally.
She moved to the Netherlands, I believe, if I recall my PPK history correctly, for a dude.
Nice.
Which I fully approve of.
I fully approve that, too. I mean, we both moved to crazy-ass places for love.
Right.
And you could do a lot worse than the Netherlands.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah. Maybe we'll come visit one day.
Yeah, seriously. Buy a case of speculoos ahead of time.
Yes.
Ah, yes. I'm really enjoying your recent discussions about the interconnectedness of race, feminism, and animal rights. Hooray! Thank you. So often, I feel like I don't know enough about a certain issue to speak up for it, but your podcast and the articles you mentioned, which are slowly amassing in my online to-read pile, oh my god, do I have one of those, are increasing my confidence to do so.
So is she saying that because we're so ignorant on so many things that we still talk all kinds of shit that...
Yeah, totally.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Yay.
Okay, here's the catch. In addition to telling you about the bang-up job you gals are doing on the podcast, I have a selfish reason for emailing. I'm brainstorming a podcast idea myself, dealing with education and new teachers, and I'm overwhelmed by the number of podcast tutorials and resources out there. I'm hoping you guys can give me a little bit of direction. What sort of equipment are you using, if any?
Ooh.
Thanks, and keep up the good work. Mary.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mary. We love you. You're great.
Yes, thank you for writing.
And congratulations on moving to the goddamn Netherlands. That's fucking rad.
Yeah.
Albert Heijn has some nasty ass shit, but if you're willing to brave it, they have this amazing snack thing that's like basically fresh coconut with this amazing mango dipping sauce that's made of the semen of the gods. And it's awesome. It's like a euro and it's totally great. Excuse me. So, basically, our podcast is pretty low tech.
Yes.
I got a Mac about 2 years ago, and part of the reason I got a Mac, aside from being fucking fed up with PCs and seeing if Mac was any better, was that it has GarageBand. And I know that's what Josh and Issa used when they did Naked Vegan. And there's a little bit of a learning curve, but it's pretty easy to use once you master it. And in fact, I'm kind of at the point where I'm kind of wishing that it wasn't so limited. I'm wishing there were more options. But, you know, if you want to put out a really simple, basic podcast, then GarageBand is your buddy. Otherwise, you know what, I might insert a few random clips of Pranjal speaking in here or me speaking again, because I know there's some other programs out there, especially if you don't have a Mac or you don't want to use GarageBand. I know there's some stuff out there you can use. That's for recording and editing. As far as publishing, what we use is a program called Spin Express, and that's Express without the first E. And it looks like when you go to their webpage, they've been defunct for about a year now.
Okay.
So I'm kind of in the market for a new publishing application or software. It still gets the job done, but I have to retry each episode about two or three times before it finally starts uploading. And it sends our files to the Online Media Archive. I think it's just www.archive.org, something like that. So it's kind of a Commons, Creative Commons, public access sort of thing. and then you can hook up your RSS feed to iTunes and publish simultaneously through iTunes. So you don't have to do that separately. I know I gave the same advice to Sarah, aka Walrus, about some stuff. But it's interesting you mention this. And as far as microphones, we are using a beautiful high-tech $30 Logitech USB plug-in microphone.
Yes.
That has sort of broken. The plastic casing is broken and sort of lilting to one side, like a penis afflicted with Peyronie's disease. It's a little sad. And I actually have been in the market for some new mics for a while. My ideal fantasy is like two lapel mics like they have on Oprah that are also USB plugins. That would be awesome.
That would be fun.
And I have to confess, well, I think I told you, but I wrote to Mark Maron and I was like, you had a really awesome MP3 recorder when you were in San Francisco, and we are jealous and we want to know what it was, and is it affordable?
Has he written you back yet?
No, he has not.
What a bastard.
I know. Who does he think he is, being busy and, you know, enjoying his success after, you know, 20 years of trying to make it?
A failure.
Yeah. Whoa. Big words, Jordan.
You hear that,
big
Mark Maron?
Yeah, we're talking about you.
Right.
So, yeah, that's kind of how we do it. We're always open to suggestions. If people see a great deal on a really nice mic, or if people out there also do their own podcasting or recording and can recommend a great mic for us, we're open to it. I'm definitely in the market for a new mic. I've been wanting new mics for us for like 6 months now. I think the podcast has been a really great learning experience for us, and I think we've kind of grown up against the ceiling now, and we're ready for a new ceiling. So
yes,
if anybody can help
create a new ceiling.
Yes, to extend the metaphor, if anybody can hook us up with a contractor, that would be great.
Yes.
So that's what we do. If there's any replacements or updates of Spin Express, because it looks like they might possibly be out of business, although the software still works, hey, throw it our way. That's what we do. If you have any more questions, or if anybody out there wants to start a podcast and has more questions or wants more details, then totally email us. I mean, we did this with, like, no background in this sort of thing, no skills whatsoever, just because, you know, for the pure fun of it, for shits and giggles, because everyone needs to hear what we think.
Yes, of course.
And heed our advice and demands.
Right.
So, we're always happy to help out anybody. The more the merrier, man. Vegan domination, that's what I say.
For sure.
For shizzle. Anyway. That was email time.
Yeah. Woo. That actually seems like maybe kind of a good place to wrap it up.
Okay.
Because it's
getting louder in here.
It is getting louder in
and
here.
And our crappy limp dick microphone is having trouble capturing our voices.
And I have to go home before I can go to Piranha 3D.
Yeah. I have to go home and cook my tofurkey pizza.
Nice.
For my 10-year wedding anniversary celebration.
That's a good 10-year anniversary dinner.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think it's pretty good.
I'm down.
But what we really have planned is on Saturday we're going to go to the UC Berkeley Botanical Gardens. They have 35 acres there. And you were with me at Rainbow yesterday.
Yes.
Oh, God, that was the other thing I was going to talk about, was the sad death of a proud tradition. Rainbow Coupon Day.
Oh, I'm cheering.
Forever next week.
I'm cheering that sad death. I'm happy.
I know. I can't help but be a little sad. Rainbow Grocery is San Francisco's cooperatively owned all-vegetarian grocery store. They sadly have a huge meat section, Take two. They sadly have a huge cheese section. But they're all vegetarian. There's no nasty butcher section or no nasty ass fish section to walk through when you're buying your groceries. And for years, they had 20% off days with coupons that you could get from the phone book. And they have announced that next year they will not be having coupons in the phone book. The tradition comes to an end. But, you know, perhaps it's for the best. You know, waiting in line for an hour to get to the cashier is a bit excessive.
I have to say, I mean, Rainbow is my community grocery store. Mm-hmm. And it does kind of suck to basically have 3 days out of the week where you can't go to your grocery store.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I don't know. It seemed like the people that got the most benefit were the people that had the most money to spend. You know, like the people who saved the most money were the people who spent the most money.
True.
So, I mean, if you were only spending $50, like, yeah, you would save $10, but it's not that big of a game changer, especially if you're coming over from the East Bay.
The death of Rainbow's Coupon Day, for me, represents a death to the ridiculous justifications I could come up with to buy total luxury items that I wouldn't otherwise buy, such as a jar of maple butter.
Right.
Which is still more than half full, because I'm like, treat that shit like gold.
It is like gold.
It is gold. But yeah. Anyway, so the last thing I bought with my Rainbow coupon was a tofurkey pizza.
Good.
Because not only were they on sale already, but it was an additional 20% off.
Nice.
So, yeah, so I'm spending my anniversary night eating tofurkey pizza, and then on Saturday we're going to go to the Berkeley Botanical Gardens and eat Dr. Cow cheese.
Nice.
I got some champagne.
Very nice.
And I got some dark chocolate covered cherries.
Very nice.
And maybe I'll pick up some other stuff. But yeah.
That sounds nice.
It should be nice. Yes.
We should do something like when we have our 50th show anniversary.
We should
do something similarly romantic.
That's only two episodes away.
I know. Let's buy some cheap Trader Joe's champagne.
That cheap Trader Joe's champagne you bought for my last lady party is still in my fridge.
Is it?
I haven't opened
it. Then we will use that.
We can use that. We might also use that for my Pink Flamingos female troll party.
Oh yeah, that too. Whatever.
Well, okay, on that note, it's really loud in here.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for staying tuned through the increasing volume.
I think the people that were taking pictures, one of them was pointing her camera right over at us, so I gave her the finger like that. So I think she's got a picture of me giving her the finger.
That's rude,
Jordan.
And
my tattooed middle finger, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's rude to take pictures. I mean, she was pointing the camera right at us. So
yeah, for all she knows, we believe in the concept that the camera can steal your soul.
Right.
So
really
culturally
unsensitive.
Totally. So God damn it. All right. See you next week.
Bye.
Talk to you next week. Whatever.